Politics, sports, entertainment? Yeah, we've got that. It's WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Right now, we got the entertainment in that little list of things that we do on WKOK Sunrise. The always entertaining Mike McGranahan is with us. Good morning, Mike.
Hi, good to see you.
Good to see you. It's been a while since we've talked on the radio, but I always enjoy filling in on Fridays because Mike is here. He's got movie reviews. He's got entertainment and always interesting shirts.
Yes.
So it's a Chevy Chase movie. I know you love Chevy Chase.
Uh-huh.
Nothing But Trouble. That's the one I'm not familiar with.
Well, yeah, this is one of his most maligned movies. I'm one of the few people who's a defender of it.
You're going to defend anything he does, right?
He's made some turkeys. I can't lie. He's made some turkeys.
Tell us, while we're talking about Chevy Chase, you wrote a book about Chevy Chase. Tell us about that.
I did. It's called My Year of Chevy, and I spent a year watching every movie Chevy Chase was in up until the point that I wrote the book, which was in 2000. I can't even remember anymore. But it's available on Amazon in Kindle and paperback editions, My Year of Chevy.
Sounds cool. Well, you have a recent movie to review first, and this is Malignant.
Yeah.
What'd you think? Tell us about it.
In Malignant, Annabelle Wallace plays a pregnant woman whose abusive husband slams her head into a wall. Not long after this happens, he's gruesomely murdered by a shadowy figure. Then a series of other murders take place, all of them connected to her in some way. In doing some investigating, she figures out that the culprit is someone from her past named Gabriel. I'm going to stop right there because no one should spoil any of this movie for you. Here's what you need to know. Malignant was directed by James Wan, the guy behind The Conjuring, Insidious, and Aquaman. The first two acts are a fairly conventional slasher movie. The third act is where it really gets special. That's where you find out who and what Gabriel is. Once the story reaches that point, it's an all-you-can-eat buffet of craziness. Insanely violent and full of wonderfully bizarre sights, the last 40 minutes contain some of the most outrageous stuff you'll see in a horror movie this year. Malignant's brand of insanity won't be for every taste, but as someone with a fondness for big, over-the-top horror movies, I was totally won over by it. A bold vision combines with Annabelle Wallace's strong performance to make Malignant a fright flick that stands out from the pack. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 3 buckets of blood.
Wow.
Because there's a lot of blood in this movie.
Insanely violent. I don't think I've heard those words together before.
It's violent. The violence is very creative. It's a hard movie to talk about because you don't want to give away what happens, but the way the violence is staged is unlike anything you've ever seen before. I'll just leave it at that.
Wow.
But yeah, fun movie. If you're into this kind of thing, I love the big, crazy horror movies from the 80s, stuff like The Return of the Living Dead and the Phantasm series and A Nightmare on Elm Street. And this movie reminded me of that. It's a movie that comes out and it takes big, crazy swings and has a really outrageous concept and has a lot of fun with it at the same time that it's creepy and bloody and gory and all of those good things.
I'm assuming that probably R rating.
Very hard R rating, yes. Do not watch it with the children.
Disclaimer, don't bring your kids.
Right.
And that comes out this weekend?
It's actually out now. It's in theaters and on HBO Max for a limited time. If you have HBO Max, you can watch it at home.
Oh, excellent. So what else is going on at the movies right now? I take it that there are some other reviews you've done recently on Aisle Seat. So tell us what's going on.
Well, the other movie that is out right now is called Show Me the Father, which is a documentary, and this comes from the Kendrick Brothers. They're the Christian filmmakers who did War Room and Courageous and Fireproof. And this time they've made a documentary about fatherhood and about the importance of fathers. And this movie brings together 5 very inspirational stories of real-life fathers and what happened. And I found this movie really interesting. The stories that they tell are quite fascinating. And the one man, Stephen Kendrick, who's one of the producers of the movie, he tells the story of his own child's adoption. And it's the most amazing adoption story I've ever heard. I think even the most hardcore atheist would have a hard time listening to this story and not thinking that maybe a higher power was involved in that somehow. So there is definitely a religious bent to this movie. But even if you're not inclined to go for that, I think most people will find the stories themselves to be very engrossing. So 3 stars for Show Me the Father, and that is showing locally at the AMC.
And we have some other things that you've been looking at lately. Bestsellers.
Mm-hmm. Bestsellers, I almost feel like this should be a public service warning rather than a movie review. You're going to start seeing this today on your on-demand menus, and you're going to see that it stars Michael Caine and Aubrey Plaza, and you're going to think, how could you go wrong with those two together? Well, Bestsellers goes completely wrong. She has inherited a book publishing company from her father. He's a reclusive author who wrote a masterpiece decades ago and hasn't written anything since. She realizes that he still contractually owes a book, so she forces him to write one and go on a book tour. The two start off as adversaries, and then, as I'm sure you can figure out, they become close over the end. And there's just not a cliched note that this movie does not hit from start to finish, and that includes the very maudlin third act where you find out Michael Caine's character's secret and his alcoholism catches up with him. And it's just a really poorly written, flatly directed movie from start to finish. So that's called Bestsellers. Great cast, but you might want to consider avoiding that one.
Prisoners of the Ghostlands, another one.
Yes, this is Nicolas Cage. He's made quite a few crazy movies in his time, but this might be the craziest. I saw this back at Sundance in January, and this is the weekend it comes out on demand. And this is a genre mashup. It's kind of like part Western, part martial arts movie, part science fiction, part horror. There's even a little bit of comedy thrown in. The only thing you don't get is a musical number. But he lives in this town. He's a prisoner, and the only way he can gain his freedom is if he goes out into the ghost land outside of this town that's supposedly haunted by ghosts and find this woman. And it's just a wild, crazy movie. It's Nicolas Cage doing his thing. Sometimes that wears on me, but in this case, I think the story and the style of the film is really interesting. So Prisoners of the Ghostland, available today on demand. 3 stars for that one.
As we switch gears and talk about entertainment news, kind of surprising this week when I heard the news about Norm MacDonald, since he had a battle with cancer that was mostly private from what we can gather. What do you think his contribution to media, to comedy, will be looked at in years to come?
Well, I think he was pretty much a comedic genius. I mean, I'm sure he had his flaws in real life, and we're starting to hear some stories coming out from female comedians who said he didn't necessarily treat them very well. And unfortunately, we've heard that kind of thing again and again with people. But just in terms of his comedy legacy, he was hilarious. He had a way of crafting a joke and delivering a joke that was very unique to him. His style was so droll. And the thing I loved about him is that sometimes he would start a joke and you didn't even really know where the joke was going, or maybe you thought it was going a certain direction and it goes somewhere else very surprisingly. And that was, to me, was really one of his great contributions. He just had his own style of going in one direction and then all of a sudden an abrupt left turn.
He was the anchor on Weekend Update in the days when I was in college and watching Saturday Night Live regularly, so very familiar with his work, and did a number of things after Saturday Night Live.
Made movies. This is one of the things that's kind of interesting. I watched Norm MacDonald on Saturday Night Live as well and loved him there. My son, who's 12, got addicted to reruns of the sitcom The Middle last summer, and Norm MacDonald had a recurring role in that. So he knows Norm MacDonald, too. So his popularity spanned generations, which I think is really cool. But he also did started a movie called Dirty Work with Chevy Chase in a small role. So if you want to see those two together, you can see them there. They also did Chevy was a guest on Norm's Netflix series, his talk show. So yeah, Norm MacDonald did all kinds of stuff.
When I think about Chevy Chase, Steve Martin also comes to mind.
Yeah.
He's involved in this new Hulu project, which is getting some good press on. It's a murder mystery series.
Only Murders in the Building, yes. And, you know, I don't watch television shows for a lot of different reasons, but this one I watched. And I had access to watch the entire series in advance. And it's great. If you have Hulu, watch Only Murders in the Building. If you don't have Hulu, it's worth subscribing. It's Steve Martin and Martin Short together, and Selena Gomez, who fits in beautifully with those two. I would not have expected her to gel so well with those two comedy giants, and she's great, too. It's a fantastic show.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about it. I don't have Hulu, but I've been thinking about maybe I should try the free trial or something for at least a short time so I can watch that show.
Yeah, and binge watch it.
Yeah. Speaking of streaming and media, of course, streaming and the pandemic has kind of changed how we look at things. And The Sopranos and HBO Max, there's a little bit of a brouhaha with that. Tell us about that.
Yeah, coming out in 2 weeks, we have The Many Saints of Newark, which is the movie prequel to The Sopranos TV show, and it looks at Tony Soprano when he was younger. And David Chase, the creator of The Sopranos, is upset that Warner Brothers is giving it what they call a day-and-date release, meaning it'll be in theaters nationwide, but on HBO Max at the same time. And, you know, this really surprises me because The Sopranos was on HBO, so why he would be upset that his movie is going to be on HBO Max makes no sense. I understand that this pandemic frustrates filmmakers who can't get the kind of release they want, but this movie is getting a nationwide theatrical release anyway, so people still have the option of seeing it. I have much more empathy for the filmmakers whose movie didn't get a chance to play on the big screen. Last summer, Judd Apatow's most recent movie, The King of Staten Island, just went to VOD because of the pandemic. I feel worse for somebody like him than I do for David Chase, whose movie is going to be opening on thousands of screens in 2 weeks.
And why wouldn't you want to have two places to release it? More people will see it, right?
A lot of these directors are saying the argument of, well, you know, we made this movie to be seen up on the big screen, which is fine and dandy. I love seeing movies on the big screen, too. But the fact is that most of us watch movies in perpetuity on the small screen. They're not in theaters forever. We still watch Ghostbusters at home. We watch E.T. at home. We watch Jurassic Park at home. And we still love them. So I think this argument is a little bit misguided.
And lots of us, including myself, who have younger children who don't get to go to the movies very often, we have to watch them at home. So.
Right, right. Yeah. And we still enjoy the movies just as much.
Right. So if you are not checking out Mike's stuff online at Aisle Seat, you need to do that because you can find out interesting things like I did. You're a Toad the Wet Sprocket fan. I found that out recently.
I love that band. I have loved that band for a long time. They put a new album out last week.
They did.
It's terrific.
And I just downloaded it this week and listened to it. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I had, over the pandemic, got my son interested, my 8-year-old, in the band because their lead singer, Glenn Phillips, was doing online Facebook concerts 3 times a week.
Uh-huh.
And he and I were watching them as we got him ready for bed. And so, yeah, I saw that and I'm like, oh, something to talk about with Mike when I see him next. So
they're a terrific band and their music has meant a lot to me over the years.
So check out at Aisle Seat. You can find him on Twitter. You can find the website. You can get all of the reviews. If you want to read more about Malignant and all the other movies that Mike talked about today, check that out. Always a pleasure, Mike, to have you here when I'm sitting in for Mark Lawrence.